Our study Wednesday night on 1 Thessalonians and the fact that Christ is coming. And so we're going to start a short study here on 2 Thessalonians. There's going to be three lessons. We cover the three chapters of this book. 2 Thessalonians, once you get there, stand with me. The title of this is going to be These Last Days. These Last Days. We know that Christ is coming, and we know that it's going to come because we're living in these last days. And so that's what we're dealing with here. We know that Paul had written the letter to the church at Thessalonica. The letter was in the mail. They had read it. They had gone over it. There were some different aspects that were going on. But we know also the reason for this second epistle was there were some people that crept up in the church and began to teach that the church had missed the rapture. They had begun to teach that they had missed the second coming of Christ. And so here there was some concern, there was some confusion, and so Paul writes this second letter to give some details, but also he addresses dealing with some of the unruly and some of the problems that were going on there in the church as well, dealing with those that are disorderly, and we'll get to that later on as well. But look, we're going to deal with chapter number one tonight. And so here, 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, look at verse number 12, and then we'll work our way down to it here in just a little while. Verse 12 says, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. By the way, that's our purpose. That the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. So I'm going to take the teenagers to youth conference so that Jesus Christ can be glorified in their lives. There's an old chorus that was sang when we were teenagers, and it goes like this: in my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified today. And then you change out in my life, in my home, in my church, in the world. The idea and the aspect is God being glorified. So here, that the name of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, we know we live in these last days. We know that You're coming back. There's a certainty. We know the imminency is here. And we know that Your return is imminent, although we know it may not be immediate. And so the reality is You can come back at any moment, but You don't have to come back in our timing. You're coming back in Your own timing. We know that. And yes, we want some things done immediately, but imminency does not mean immediacy. And God, I pray that You'd help us to realize and recognize that, but also understand in the last days that we're living in right now, there needs to be some clarity, and there needs to be some purpose, and there needs to be some understanding as to what You have for us. And I pray we'd see that tonight, and as we go through these few lessons on this book specifically, we'll praise You, we'll thank You, we'll ask this thing in Your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. So there's going to be three aspects that we're going to deal with that are broken down in the three chapters. Chapter one, we're going to see a great event. Chapter number two, we're going to deal with a great evil. And chapter number three, we're going to deal with a great expectation. So we have a great event in chapter one. We're going to deal with a great evil, and we're going to see the man of sin, and we're going to see the Antichrist and see some different aspects there. And then we're going to get to the great expectation that we're looking forward to in chapter number three. But tonight, as we deal with this great event, there's three aspects that we're going to look at in chapter number one. First, I want you to notice we deal with the first eight verses. We're going to deal with the coming of this great event. The coming of this great event. Now, again, in 1 Thessalonians, he was writing about Jesus Christ coming. Jesus Christ is going to meet with us. Jesus Christ is going to come and gather His church. He's going to come and collect all those that are saved, born again, children of God. He's going to rapture them out and take us on to heaven. And the 7 years of tribulation will then begin to ensue here on earth. We know it's going to be 3.5 years of peace. We know during that time the temple will be built. The abomination of desolation will be offered according to Daniel chapter number 7 there on the altar. And then all hell is going to break loose in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The 7 bowls or vials are poured out. The wrath of God is poured out upon this earth. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. We know that the fourth of the earth is going to be destroyed and consumed with fire. A third of the vegetation, a third of the water supply system. The moon's going to be turned to blood. There's going to be a lot of volcanic activity that's taking place as well. And so we know that there's going to be all this hell on earth, literally, so to speak. And we're going to see that in the last 3.5 years of tribulation. tribulation, that's going to happen on earth. And while we are in heaven during that 7 years, we're going through the judgment seat of Christ. We're going through the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're having a wedding that we're a part of. And so we're going through all these different things, and we'll see from a aerial view of all the things that are happening here. And then when that time comes at the end of the 7 year tribulation period, Jesus Christ will come back with his saints. Remember, the beginning he came back for his saints. Now he's going to come back with his saints, and he's going to put an end to the death, hell, and the destruction here on earth. He's going to bind Satan for 1,000 years, and he's going to set up his millennial kingdom, and we'll have the millennial or the 1,000 year reign of Christ. And then there'll be a short time where he looses Satan, and there'll be a final battle that is there according to Revelation chapter 20. And then right after that, we see the judgment seat of Christ, and death and hell are cast in the lake of fire. The beast, the false prophet, they're cast in the lake of fire. All those that were in hell are pulled up. They're judged one final time, and they are cast into the lake of fire. And then in chapter number 21, God makes a new heaven and a new earth. So here, Paul had to write a letter to the church of Thessalonica to clear up and give it a little added clarity. I thought he was very clear in 1 Thessalonians. As we covered it, the coming of Christ, I thought he was very clear and detailed on all the aspects of Christ coming back. And he broke it all down, especially in chapter number 4, and broke down the fact that we caught up to meet the Lord together there in the air. He was very clear on that. But there were some people that crept into the church. Much like it often happens, there are people who creep into the church, and they begin to twist scripture. They begin to twist doctrine. They begin to change a little bit here and a little bit there, and begin to deceive the people of God. And that's exactly what happened. So Paul had to write a second letter to the church of Thessalonica dealing with this. So here in the first 8 verses, we deal with the coming of this great event. Notice its relevancy in verses 1-5. Here we see its relevancy. It was a relevant event. The Bible says in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see the people of the great event. So here are the people that are writing this book, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and then writing it to the church. And so these are the people that will be involved in this great event. And so here we see the people of this event. And then in verse 2, we see the promise. He says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, peace? You just said there's going to be seven years of tribulation here on earth. That's not peace. No, no, no. We're going to have peace in heaven while the tribulation's here on earth. We understand all of that. So here we see the promise of this great event. We know what's going to happen. God has not lied to us about anything, and he's not going to start now. Verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So here he was praising them, and we see the praise of this great event. He's praising them for their spiritual growth. He's praising them for making some steps in the right direction. You say, well, he's writing this letter to them to correct some false doctrine that's crept in the church. How has he got the confidence to praise them for spiritual growth? Well, let me tell you, somebody had to let him know that was happening. So there was some kind of growth that was there. You see, when you go to your authorities and you go to those spiritual leaders in your life and you have questions about doctrine, that is a sign that you are growing spiritually. That's not a sign that you're trying to fight and buck against the system. That's not a sign that you're trying to find fault and error with the Word of God. That's a sign that you are genuinely interested in the truth, and you're seeking after that. And so here he's praising them for their growth, because somebody had contacted him, and somebody had tried to meet with him, and somebody's trying to get some clarification on the Word of God, because they did not want to be led astray. They showed some discipline in their personal walk with God. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Here, he was thankful that they were staying faithful to the things of God, because they lived in a day and age where there was persecution and there was tribulation for those that did right. Does that sound familiar to you? Persecution and tribulation when you take a stand for right? Sometimes that persecution and tribulation may come from outside the walls of the church. Sadly, in some churches, that persecution comes inside the walls. Sadly, sometimes that persecution may come from family members and people that you have called friends for a long time. Think you've gone crazy. Think you've gotten off your rocker. They think you joined a cult just because you believe the Word of God more than they do. There's going to be times where you're going to face that persecution, but your faithfulness to God is going to be very evident and seen in the lives of others.
Others are watching you and they're watching the decisions you make. And others, let me tell you this, others can tell when you're growing spiritually. I was texting a preacher friend of mine just this morning. And I told him it seems like we've had a great summer here at Cornerstone Baptist Church, especially in our young people. We've seen a lot of spiritual maturity and growth. But not just in our young people, even in our adults, we've seen a lot of maturity in several different areas. And I was bragging on the people of God. Why? Because standing back and looking and seeing where people were at the beginning of the year, and now we're 7 months, August is now the eighth month of the year. We're starting the eighth month of the year and seeing the progress and the growth that's been happening in different people's lives. That's exciting. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about. He's praising them for the growth that they're having in their lives, their patience and their faith, and they're growing in the Lord. And then you'll notice in verse 5 the purpose of this event. It says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Why is Jesus Christ going to be coming back? Ultimately, he's coming back to get his church because he's got judgment to pour out and rain down on this earth. That's the purpose of his event. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Here, we're worthy of the title that we've been given. By the way, you'll find several different times in Paul's letters that he had written and encouraged them to be worthy of the title that God has given them. The title of being a Christian. The title of being a child of God. The title of being a saint, a born-again believer. And he says here, the judgment of God is going to be poured out upon this world. So here we see it's a relevant event. But also verses 6 to 8 tell us it's a righteous event. The purpose of this event is so that righteousness can be exalted. Whenever judgment is done upon the unrighteous, it's so that righteousness then can be exalted. Judgment on unrighteousness is never the end result. It's never the end game of anything. When the judgment on the unrighteous happens, it is so that the righteous can be exalted, so that the righteous can be lifted up, so that the righteous can be rewarded. And so we need to understand that every time judgment comes upon the unrighteous, it's so that the righteous then can be lifted up. Just like we preached this morning, that when the godly man ceaseth and when the faithful fail, then the vilest men are exalted and wicked walk on every side. So when there's no godly men, the ungodly men are risen. But when the judgment is upon the ungodly, then the godly will be risen up into a place of service. And here, this is a righteous thing which God, with God, to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And then verse 7 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Here we see in this righteous event that this purpose, we see the purpose that was right, so that God could be glorified, so that Jesus Christ can be revealed, so that righteousness can be exalted. Verse 8 tells us, in flaming fire, take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice there's a punishment that's revealed. When the righteous are exalted, the unrighteous will be punished or persecuted. And when the righteous are punished or persecuted, then we know that unrighteousness is being lifted up. And so here we see there's going to be a vengeance that takes place on them that know not God. Where's that vengeance going to come from? It's going to come from God. By the way, God's vengeance is far worse than any vengeance we can have on man. You let God fight your battles for you. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans chapter 12, the latter half of the chapter, verse 25 all the way down to the end of the chapter. It tells us that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He says, to be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen, when God has the last word, he can do far more to your enemies than you can. I chose a long time ago, I'm going to let God fight my battles for me. Why? Because what God can do to them is far worse than what I can do to them. Amen. And here, he's got a flaming judgment that's going to take place. And flaming fire taking vengeance. That's going to be something to see right there. Here we see the coming of the great event. Then notice verses 9 and 10, we see the characteristics of the great event. There is an everlasting destruction in verse 9. It says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? here, there are those that are going to be destroyed, and they're going to be destroyed for an eternity is what they're going to be destroyed for. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be separated from God's presence. They're going to be separated from God's power. You see, there's going to come a day and age where folks aren't going to be able to be saved anymore. This is why it's so important that we try to reach everybody we can with the gospel message. Because there's going to come a day where we can't. There's going to come a day where folks won't be saved. There's going to come a day where it's going to be too late and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. They're going to be separated from God's presence. They'll be separated from God's power. I believe one of the worst things, yes, the Bible says it's a place where the worm dieth not. The Bible says it's a place where the fire is never quenched. The Bible says it's a place of darkness. And while we know it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, there's a place of eternal torments, and it's a place where you're constantly falling for all eternity. Now, all those things in and of themselves are bad singularly. Right? I mean, I would say they're bad. But there's something we often forget about death and hell. There's something we often forget about the eternal judgment of God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4, that once the great white throne judgment is done, and once all those souls are cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says God creates a new heaven and a new earth, and He wipes away all tears. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Go back and read it. The Bible says He wipes away all tears. What that tells me is, Brother Nick, He's going to wipe away the very memory of their existence. You see, we as men and ladies, we don't want to be forgotten. It's one of man's biggest fears. That's why they want to leave a legacy to their children and their children's children. That's why they want to have their names written on everything. They don't want to be forgotten. God says, we're going to take care of all that. And I'm going to wipe away your very existence. You see, in hell, they're going to remember every time somebody gave them a gospel message. But in heaven, after the great white throne judgment, we're never even going to remember they existed. Let that settle in. That's why heaven's going to be such a wonderful place. That's why heaven's going to have no tears, because God's going to wipe them away. We're not going to have a memory of our lost loved ones. There'll be a lot of weeping at the great white throne judgment. You can count on it. There'll be a lot of weeping as we stand behind God while He's judging all those that have rejected Him for all that time. But there's going to come a day where He's going to wipe away those tears. And we're not even going to remember their very existence. They'll remember us, and they'll remember every time a preacher told them the Word of God. They'll remember every time they sat in a church service and rejected Jesus Christ. They'll remember every time a family member told them about the love of God. But we as their family members, and we as their church that they attended, we're going to spend eternity in heaven, and we're going to forget their very existence. That's part of the judgment. Here, eternal or everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So here, look at verse 10. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Here we see that not only is there everlasting destruction in verse 9, but there's also going to be everlasting delights. You see, for those that are in hell, there's everlasting destruction, yes. But for those of us that are going to be in heaven, there's going to be everlasting delights. You see, there's going to be glorification that takes place. The Bible says, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. You understand that you're going to get a brand new glorified body when you get to heaven one day. You're not going to have the ailments and the issues that you currently have in your body. Praise God. You got plenty of them. Praise the Lord. You're not going to have to limp around. You're not going to have any problems. You ain't going to have to take any blood pressure pills. Praise the Lord. No more urgent care visits. None of that stuff. No blood sugar problems. Nothing. Bro, there's no more heart conditions anymore in heaven. We're all going to get a new body. We're going to be glorified with Jesus Christ. Here, we're going to get a glorified body. These are everlasting delights. But also, look at verse 10. Not only is He going to be glorified in His saints, but it says, and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. Here, there's glorification, but there's also admiration. you realize that we're going to spend all of eternity praising God for who He is and for what He's done in our lives. That's what your Bible says, verse 10, right there. Glorified and then to be admired in all of them. We're going to spend eternity worshiping our Savior. 10,000 years isn't enough time. 20,000 years, 100,000 years, all of eternity we'll be worshiping our Savior for the things that He's done in our lives, admiring Him for His good grace and His love, remembering the things that He's blessed our lives with. You see, there's everlasting destruction for the lost, but there's everlasting delights for those who are saved. Now, let's pay attention here. Verse 11. We've looked at the coming of the great event. We've seen the characteristics of the great event. Now, verse 11 and 12, we see the conclusion of this great event. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. By the way, Paul's reminding them he hadn't forgot about them. He's reminding them that they haven't missed out on anything yet. This coming is going to happen. This great day of the Lord is going to happen. It says, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Notice verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. I've got written down beside this verse, my purpose in life is to glorify God. We're going to spend all of eternity being able to glorify our Heavenly Father for the things that He's done in our hearts, the things He's done in our lives. And it says, and ye in Him. You understand that others ought to be able to glorify God because of your life as well? Not that they're glorifying you, but that they're glorifying God inside of you. When they see you, they ought to be able to praise God for the actions that they see that are godly in your life. And ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we know there's a great event that's going to happen. That great event is the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. He had to remind them, listen, you haven't missed out on it yet. It's going to come, and He's going to reveal that to him, to them in chapter 2. And we're going to get to that on Wednesday night. Look at verse number 1 in chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. So now in chapter 2, and we'll get to this Wednesday night, He's going to begin to address the things that they were asking Him about. He's trying to remind them and trying to encourage them in chapter number 1. Listen, there's going to be a great day that happens. There's going to be a judgment that takes place. We're going to miss out on all the eternal destruction. We've got eternal delights to look forward to. But right now, while you're on earth, make sure your life's bringing glory to God. In everything that you are doing, make sure your life is bringing glory to God. You see, listen, we live in these last days today. And we can go to 1 Timothy. And we can go to Corinthians, and we can go all throughout the Word of God. We can go to Matthew chapter 24. We can look at all the different places in the Word of God where God deals with these last days that we live in. And the reality is, the Bible tells us that perilous times will come, that men will be lovers of their own flesh more than lovers of God. Men will pursue after the things of this world. They'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. The Bible says in Romans 1, they'll abuse themselves with mankind. The Bible says these last days that they were not going to be thankful for the things God's done in their lives. That's how most people are going to act. But Paul's trying to remind the church at Thessalonica, here, pay attention, trying to remind them, your responsibility is to glorify God in everything. Listen, as we are preparing for the Lord to come, He can come at any moment. His coming is imminent. Meaning that it can happen at any moment. Please don't misunderstand when I said it's not immediate, as in it's not right now at this very moment, because we're talking right now. So it didn't happen 5 seconds ago. It didn't happen 10 seconds ago. It didn't happen that time, okay? But it is imminent, meaning it can happen at any moment. And we know He's going to come back. Because we know He's going to come back, let's resolve ourselves to glorify Him in everything. Let's make sure that everything we do brings honor and glory to God. Because as I've stated multiple times through our study on 1 Thessalonians, the very first thing you're going to meet God with is the very last action you take. It's the first thing you're going to meet with God with. You have a fight with your spouse? God takes you out right then? You're going to meet God with a bad attitude. Now, first impressions are lasting impressions. Amen. It's a bad way to start eternity. Let's make sure that we're doing everything we can to glorify God in how we're living. By the way, one of the most important ways we can glorify God is telling other people that Jesus Christ is coming. Making sure they know that there is a coming day. Jesus Christ will come. And the reality is it can be any moment. I don't know when it's going to be. We can't set dates, but we know it's imminent. It's going to happen. Paul thought it was going to happen in his day. He said, then we which are alive and remain should be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He thought it was going to happen. Listen, we know what's going to happen. We just don't know when. It could happen at any moment. Again, we're not looking for a sign. We're just listening for a sound. But in the midst of it all, make sure that we're bringing glory to God with our lives. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed tonight. We've got to bring glory to God.